And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hi, what can I get for you? Hi, could I get the chocolate banana smoothie? What's that one called? The Choco Funtime Bananarama Buzz. And what can I get for you? Yeah, could I just get this one here? Sorry, I don't have my glasses. You're going to have to tell me what it's called. I killed JFK.
We got it.
Hands on your head!
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, January 27th. Here we are, back in the Classic Factory. I'm JD Skeets, and alongside me, as always, Tess Mellis.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, Tess? We got our Top Shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And finally, making the magic happen over there, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe. Like, and please, if you haven't already, share the show, or better yet, share some shorter video clips that your boys are doing up here in the Classic Ooh. Factory. For example, last night we posted TK's top five NBA halftime acts of all time. We're talking Red Panda, we're talking Christian and Scooby. And I don't want to spoil the rest of the list, but great job by you and JD. There are three others, and you got to go.
Do you remember any of the other three? There's only two halftime acts. It's Red Panda and Christian and Scooby, although the other ones are good. Surprisingly. Surprisingly.
I mean, surprisingly.
I was a little shocked by the order of the list. And again, I don't want to spoil it. I want you guys to go check it. So the top five NBA halftime acts by, again, Trey did an awesome job, and JD putting that together. That we posted last night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it turned out pretty good. Honestly, seeing it in full production, I think a little more crosstalk really makes it sing. I love the shot from camera over here. Mm. Seemed like a really like a candid shot, you know, talking about Christian's jacked arms, basically.
Yeah.
I think more of that in the next one will really make it, you know, it seems like a produced piece, but also just like hanging out, talking lists.
That's right.
It's what like guys do.
It's sort of like the classic documentary sort of move where it's like you've got three cameras on the one person talking, but you got the like, that intense close up. You got the nice wide shot. It's great.
I just hope Scooby's going to be okay with where he was placed on the list, as well as Christian. Our friend Christian. Great guy.
Great arms.
From Toronto. Great arms. Fantastic arms.
Who do you think will be more upset, Christian or Scooby?
Well, Scooby will...
Will Scooby take a Scooby dump on our table when he comes?
Scooby will be more upset, but he won't show it. He's a professional.
All right. All right. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. I ask you to do that every podcast, and there's a reason why, because you never know when we're going to hit the beach. Later today, we are. So send your questions in. nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok @NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/NoDunks. And some new No Dunks merch is about to drop later today. You can lock that in. You can go to NoDunks.com and get yourself a brand new shirt that we'll show you on tomorrow's show because it's happening as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Refreshing now to see if to see if it's
live.
Well,
I have to send one more email. So
second segment, it will be live. Perhaps.
We will tweet it out. We'll share it on Instagram, and we even have that little community tab here on YouTube. We'll let you know when that shirt is available. Okay,
breaking news tea. Yeah, breaking tea.
Breaking news tea. That's good. Good. Okay, let's get into last night's games. A whole lot of games on Wednesday night. Let's start with Kevin Love. Scoring 25 points. The Cavs hit 19 threes as they stun the champion Milwaukee Bucks, who had their big three playing there, Tass, and the Cavs. This is getting silly at this point.
I got to say it. I got to say it right now. It's official. The Cavs are back!
There we go.
It took 4 years after LeBron left. Mm-hmm. There were some bad times, but like a small market team needs to do, they did it right. Kobe Altman did an incredible job rebuilding this team. Got to do it through the draft. First, Garland at the five spot, and then Evan Mobley at the three spot this past draft really sealed it. They got in on a real slick move to get Jared Allen in that four-team trade where they gave up. If you remember, I had to go back and look at this. They gave up a first-round pick in Dante Exum to get Jared Allen. Hello, what a move. And then you get some awesome. Get undrafted guys, and you just develop players, and now they've got a team that just hopped the Milwaukee Bucks in the standings.
Yep.
And this is their statement win, and this is the point where I say the Bucks or the Cavs are back, because this really feels like they ain't going anywhere, and I don't think the Bucks really want to play this team in the playoffs. I know it's a little premature. Yeah, the Cavs, the Bucks just won the ship, but I think there are other teams that the Bucks would rather play. I think the Bucks would rather play the Bulls just because of their advantage at the bigs, because they go get more possessions. That's how they beat the Suns last year in the playoffs. They just got more possessions because they go get rebounds. And yeah, nobody can guard Giannis, but Jared Allen's a monster. He can body him. He can play with him. They start 3 7-footers. They got a pretty decent matchup for Drew Holiday when they want to put Isaac Okoro on him. So I say all that to say, hey, if the Cavs can win a playoff series, obviously it's huge, but they do need a little bit more ball handling. They need a little bit more ball handling because there's so much pressure on Darius Garland. Teams just get the ball out of his hands, but when they don't, he does things like double cross Drew Holiday and then drop off a no look to Evan Mobley, who's on the baseline making things work. They are just in such a harmonious thing going on. Everybody working together. It looks so great out there. And 4 years after Bron is gone, the Cleveland Cavaliers are right back where they used to be. Not like at the top, you know, but as part of the conversation the fact that they're third in the standings. We're nearly 50 games into this season, so this is legitimate. This is right. A real team that should be vying for a top four seed, and teams shouldn't want to play this team. No,
they've beaten every top contender in the East. I know the Athletic was writing about it this morning. They're 5-4 against the Heat, the Bulls, the Bucks, and the Nets. Now, in some of those games, if you're dissecting it, yeah, there are key players, not playing in some of them. Not last night with the Bucks, but still, that's pretty damn impressive. It's not just that they're getting all these wins against the subpar teams in the league. They're holding their own, TK, against, you know, the Bucks and including your Bulls and stuff like that. Are they legit in your mind?
Well, I think that the road to the NBA Finals goes through the Central Division right now. You got the Bulls, you got the Cavs, and you got the Bucks. Those are three good teams. I think one of the huge advantages that the Cavs have is that nobody plays like them. So when you play them, you're like, whoa, you got 2 7-footers out there and a guy named Dean? That's crazy stuff. But what it really came down to last night is that the Bucks bench did absolutely nothing. They got to make threes. They made one. They went 1 for 10 between DiVincenzo, Hill, and Mora, whereas the Cavs bench was on fire from three. 6 for Chetty Osman, 5 for Kevin Love. Chetty Osman is suddenly back.
I know.
That guy played in the finals with LeBron, had a terrible first half of the season. Suddenly he's turned it on here in the second half. Maybe they don't need ball handling because playoff Rondo will exist for them. Like,
maybe,
they'll probably suck through the rest of the season. Then when it's playoff time, he got him out there making plays. That being said, I think the Bucks would beat him 4-1 in a playoff series when it actually comes down to it and you're game planning for it every single time. That being said, if there's no Brook Lopez, that's a problem for Milwaukee.
Right.
That has been the biggest problem for them this season. Yeah, they had their three stars, but Brook Lopez does a great job of boxing out, which would be helpful against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and just taking up space, not to mention he can stretch things out. So I think when it comes down to it, you're going to see the inexperienced show for the Cavs. That being said, making it to the playoffs, playing competitively, that's going to be huge. That's a huge season for them.
Giannis didn't seem too concerned about the loss last night. Showing up to the post-game press conference, eating a bucket of chicken wings. And like just basically saying, you know, we played like crap, they're awesome, they're good. I think he likes their chances in a series if they were to ultimately play the Cavs. But it's a good matchup in the sense for Cleveland because of their size with no Brook Lopez on Milwaukee. I think that is fair.
Yeah, and like Trey said, teams don't play like the Cleveland Cavaliers. Teams don't play like the Milwaukee Bucks because they have got a freak in Giannis Antetokounmpo. They just go get extra possessions, but the Cavs can kind of match up.
Right.
There just aren't too many teams that can match up with Giannis, and the Cavs kind of do. But yeah, he's feeling good. I was looking at that bucket that he brought to the press conference. At first, I got hungry because I had seen a photo of wings earlier, and I thought, whoa, double down. I'm very excited.
Sometimes you see wings, you're right? Like being in a commercial or a photo, you're like,
you're right.
I just suddenly want those. I'm with you on that.
Because I'm not a wingman.
Right.
I got to be honest. I don't yearn for them. But then I see them.
Yeah.
But I don't think those were wings. I think those are big pieces of chicken. Those are like fried chicken,
no,
I think. I think
positive it was a wing. Because I found it strange.
It looks small in Giannis's hands.
Well,
everything looks
tiny.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That was a big piece of chicken.
No, I think he opened up this bucket, and he had already started gnawing what appeared to be on a chicken wing, and then took another bite, and then put it back in the bucket as he continued to talk. I thought it was a chicken wing, but anyway.
He pulled a real Greg Anthony, our former coworker, he'd eat on set.
Right.
And Giannis did that as well, but yeah, the lines from Giannis were great. Yeah, we played bad.
Yeah.
They played good. They made shots. That's what happened tonight. See you later. Gotta go eat.
Yeah, he doesn't care that much. But I just can't get over this Kevin Love resurgence here. This is nuts. And, like, again, 25, you said how many threes? 5 threes?
Yeah.
Why'd you look
at that? That's a chicken wing.
Oh, man.
It was a chicken wing.
Guaranteed
yeah.
a chicken
yeah,
wing. You can see the bone there.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was watching.
You looked at me like I said something about Kevin Love that made you disgusted.
Yeah, exactly. He did hit 5 threes, but I was more interested in confirming that these were wings. It appears the first one he ate was a drumstick. Because last night I saw the video coming across. You know, the Bucks tweet says he brought a bucket of wings. I saw him with the bucket.
It did say that.
I wasn't going to spend 30 seconds of my own time last night seeing him take an actual wing out, but now that we're on the podcast, I'm happy to see that it's there.
It's like,
doesn't look very saucy, though.
No. He's a dry man.
Dry man. He likes a dry rub. He likes a Cajun rub. I don't blame him. But if you get 11 threes from your bench, that's pretty good. 19 threes on the night for the Cavs. Like, if you are getting all of the offensive rebounds and you're making 19 threes, if you lose that game, you should be pissed.
I'm fascinated to see what the conversation is on, you know, on the NBA Twitter sphere tomorrow when the starters are announced tonight, right, on TNT. We're going to find out who the 10 All-Star Game starters are. And then, of course, naturally what happens is, okay, time to pick the reserves. We might do it on the Drop Podcast for crying out loud tomorrow. But, yeah, how many Cavs are getting selected? How many will be there? I mean, with their record the way it is, you know, the Bulls, obviously, they're going to have one starter, maybe two, but probably one, and then they're going to get a second, likely Zach LaVine if DeRozan is starting, and he will be. Cavs, same boat, you know, two for them. You know, you got the Nets with obviously KD starting. Harden will likely be selected. The Bucks being one of the better teams, and the Heat, of course, being the better teams, they will probably be the two squads that will only have one All-Star ultimately. But yeah, you think Garland and Jared Allen. And maybe there's some buzz for Mobley too. I think that may be a little far-fetched, but
I think they're guaranteed one. I don't see a lock for a second.
You don't see a lock for a second? Helps that they got one big guy and one very, very talented guard, too, in Darius Garland.
It does feel like Darius Garland has taken Jared Allen's place to me.
Yeah.
But maybe it's easier to make it in the front court.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good guards in the Eastern Conference, or at least a lot of guards who are kind of eligible for All-Star consideration, so we'll see. I mean, they'll definitely get at least one, and I think Garland would be the first choice now if you're just picking purely on the player, whereas Jared Allen looked like the guy through the first quarter of the season.
And I know no one really cares, but I saw some discourse on Twitter last night about Coach of the Year and whether it's Bickerstaff's, like, sort of to lose. I mean, they might surpass their win total from last year by the All-Star break, the Cavs will. It's Bickerstaff. It's probably Taylor Jenkins with the Grizzlies. I think Monty Williams, if the Suns have, like, 65-plus wins, will, get a little consideration, and Spoelstra if the Heat have the number one record in the Eastern Conference. But it feels like Bickerstaff, rightfully so, is the leader in the Coach of the Year race.
I'm sorry, Skeets.
No?
Can't get excited.
No?
I can't get excited about Coach of the Year.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Yeah, those are definitely the candidates for me. Let me jump back to Garland for a sec. I think the players throughout the league are showing so much respect to Darius Garland. And just the way they talk about him, that he's getting calls from guys throughout the league telling him, hey, man, you have come along such a long way through these first few months of the season. Plus, he plays for USA Basketball. I wonder if that extends to the coaches when they make their reserve picks. Like, I know Jared Allen is a monster, but Darius Garland, I think he's surpassed them in just the the reputation that he's already got throughout the league. And I think he'll be the number one with a bullet for the Cavs as far as all-stars go. From those coaches, from all the other 14 coaches. We haven't decided. Is it 14 coaches vote for the Eastern Conference? Yeah, not the rest. Not the West doesn't vote for the Eastern Conference coaches.
Oh, I thought it was 29 coaches voted for the Eastern Conference and 29 for the Western Conference.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I guess, yeah. All right.
All right. I mean, you don't want to talk about Coach of the Year, but you want to talk about the ballot when it comes to what the coach. I'm just kidding. All right.
I love procedural things.
All right. Let's get to our next game from last night. The Hornets set a franchise record with 158 points. In the road demolition of the Pacers. I like the AP report going with demolition there. You know, you got the Royal Rumble right around the corner. Maybe a demolition squad. What are they called? Demolition squad? What are they called? Demolition team? Demolition.
Demolition.
Yeah, you just called demolition.
You're talking about smash and crush?
Well, yeah, you're throwing in crush. Oh, wow. You're right.
Saturday night Royal Rumble. I thought it used to be on Sundays.
It is?
That's what I heard.
What? Hey, this man knows the procedure.
I
so
think it's
could
Sunday.
Be right.
What?
It's not Sunday? That's crazy.
Oh, okay, man. Well, anyway, back to the Hornets. 158 points. Trey, what do you have to add to this game?
Every Hornets game feels like a pickup game.
Yep.
And this one was where you're playing to nine and your opponent hits four twos and a layup in six possessions and suddenly the game is over. 158 points and 24 threes for Charlotte. Which do you think is more rare? 158 or more points? Or 24 or more threes?
Like, what is more rare?
Which has happened? NBA which history? Has happened more often? So, which has happened less would be more rare.
I'd say the 24 threes.
Oh, I actually
because
think the
of
points.
The era. Oh. Because like 20, threes have a shorter lifespan. You know,
they've been keeping track of points the whole time.
Yeah,
didn't have threes.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
So, what's the answer?
I'm 24 both. More threes rare.
It's points.
Yeah.
Wow.
Only 19 times has a team scored 158 or more points. 45 times, 24 or more threes. Hmm. Teams are 14-5 when they score 158 points, as you would imagine. Yeah. There are a few games. There was even one game that I saw from 2019 that was 159-158. Remember that? That was a Wizards game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were the pickup team back then. Yeah. Where they're like, we just play fast. Nobody plays defense. Everybody shoots threes. And that's kind of what the Hornets are right now, and it's fun to watch. Tsunami Poppy, Kelly Oubre Jr., dripping wet last night.
Oh, my God.
Career high 39 points, 10 of 15 from three. He's the 38th player in history to hit 10 or more threes in a game. One of the most surprising, I would say. It's got to be, it's like him, Marcus Smart, and Mario Chalmers to me are kind of the list of guys who hit 10 threes. And you're like, what? At least Marcus Smart, you can kind of get it because, like, he could go for 10 for 10 in one game and 0 for 10 in the next game. Mario Chalmers, I was like, they let him shoot
That's
10 times?
That's a shocker, yeah.
That was a shocker to me. So, I don't know. You make that many threes, you're going to win a game. Kelly Oubre was the best shooter last night, but the best three was Miles Bridges, who shot a moon ball. Had to have shot at 20 feet in the air, swished through, looked straight at Lance Stephenson, hit him with a tiny guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't want to go full guitar because they were blowing him out. It would have been really embarrassing, but he had to give him a little laugh on the guitar. So. Good stuff from the Hornets.
I love on an NBA night where there's a ton of games on and maybe you're not watching. I can't blame you, Hornets Pacers, but you see the score and you see that Kelly Oubre has, you know, 9 or 10 threes and it's like, I have to click over. I have to see what's going on here. So, like, I did chime in, or tune in, excuse me, to this game later on, just because, like, you see the numbers. I know Wob was tweeting about it, too, and it was, I started tweeting about it. Like, they had so many points. There was, like, 6 minutes still to go. And it's like, how many are they going to end with here? Like, they took their foot off the gas in the final couple of minutes. I mean, they could add way more than that, which is the insane part. But Kelly Oubre Jr., he hit 10 threes in this game. I went and checked. He had another game this year where he hit 9. And he had 2 other games where he hit 7 this season. He's had 4 games where he's hit 7 or more threes. He's he can catch fire. He's
and
streaky.
He's coming off the bench.
Yeah, right.
He does
right.
it off the bench. And some other rare names that have hit 10 threes, specifically off the bench, there aren't many guys who've done it. He joins J.R. Smith. Okay, that's understandable.
Yeah, sure.
Danilo Gallinari. That's surprising. And then Danielle Marshall, classic name.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
As the only players ever with 10 threes off the bench. Yeah, Oubre just comes in and fires. Yeah, so he has had those streaky ones. He's super duper streaky. I'd say of all the names we mentioned, probably Mario Chalmers.
The weirdest.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Weird to imagine him shooting 10 times in a game without getting yelled at.
Oh, how high did Bainsey get that one game?
Oh, he didn't make a
he
lot.
He hit like 8 or 9, I think.
I think he hit 9, yeah.
Did he?
I think.
Yeah, it wasn't double digits, but it was a ton.
He could be in the demolition, I think. Aaron Baines?
Definitely. You put him in the, you imagine he showed up to the Rumble this weekend. Surprise entrance.
I think there's a big story on ESPN from Brian Windhorst about a tragic fall that Aaron Baines had when he was at the Olympics and how he's just now getting back to walking, which is why we haven't seen him in the NBA.
Oh.
Only saw the headline. Going to check it out afterwards. But
okay. Well,
Baines talk.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
Maybe he'll be there on Saturday night. It is Saturday night.
Are you serious?
What are they trying to capitalize on the MMA fan base? Or what are they doing?
They don't want to go against football, probably.
Ooh.
Yeah, I guess it's
like,
late.
Is it
late?
Yeah, I guess the football wouldn't be over by the time it starts. That's true.
But doesn't this happen
Nobody
every...
wants to go against football.
Nope, no. Mm-mm.
Doesn't this happen every year, though? They play football like every year.
Oh, yep. Oh no, our light issues. Oh, it's the Undertaker!
Bong!
Okay, next game here. Well, JD like literally just rips this light down. Duncan Robinson scores 25 to lead the Heat to the 110-96 win over the Knicks. I'll get us started with this one, because on Tuesday, you guys might remember, I struggled to find a top trade candidate for the Miami Heat. You know, mm-hmm. We went through every single team. We did that on Tuesday in the East. On Wednesday's show, we did the West. But I got to the Miami Heat. I was like, I don't know who they would look to move. And the best I came up with, I ultimately decided on KZ Akpala because, you know, open up a little more room below the tax. And then I threw out Duncan Robinson's name. And you guys, wisely, we're like, I don't really know. Like, sure, maybe teams would be interested in him, but they're probably not going to look to move him. You even said, Tass, like, he started the season terribly. He could not hit a shot, and that's what he's out there to do. But he's gotten going recently and continued last night. Like I said, 7-11 from three. He's 16-29. Have I added that up correct? It might be even better than that. Over the last three games. So he is shooting 44% from three in 2022. So here in January, over a 10-game stretch, Miami's 8-2 over that stretch. You know, he started half of those games. Their only losses were to Philly, and then they lost that 2-point game to the Hawks. They're right there. So he's not going anywhere, I guess, is my point. And wow, what a luxury for the Heat when you can have, like, is it Duncan Robinson's night tonight, or is it Tyler Hero's night tonight? Or hell, both of them, where they're just on fire, and open up some room there for Bam, who was a hell of a playmaker last night, and then the lanes are there for Jimmy to attack, attack, attack. This Heat team is awesome. They're top three offensively, top seven defensively, and Lowry's not even playing, and Oladipo at some point is going to come back. They're damn good. Do you believe in them?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they are with the Bulls as the next tier to the Bucks and the Nets. Yeah, I think they should be disappointed if they're not in the Eastern Conference Finals. They should be. They're good. How do they keep doing it? I don't know. They just force guys like Mario Chalmers. Gabe Vincent is the new Mario Chalmers. Gabe Vincent used to be a scorer, but on this team, you've got a role, and Eric Spoelstra gets everybody to buy in, and they are buying in fully, 100%. Yes, they are definitely one of those teams that are, yeah, They belong there because of all their rankings. The numbers say it. The eye test says it. And
how many games have Lowry, Butler, and Bam even played in together?
Like 14 or something.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are damn good. Now, helped out that they're playing the Knicks last night.
The Knicks suck.
They really do.
They're bad.
Yeah.
They have terrible starters. All of their starters are very slow.
Yeah.
That's basically what it
the
comes down to.
The game was over in a hurry. Yeah.
RJ Barrett can run fast.
Yeah, he's good.
And that's the only guy that can run fast from their starters. So, you know, they get blown out of the first quarter mm-hmm. every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're playing from behind. And they're relying on Julius Randle, who had the greatest contract year in history, I'm convinced. He went from bad contract to all NBA player to bad contract before his contract even started. His extension still hasn't kicked in yet. Yeah. So I don't know what the Knicks are going to do. They need to change the starting lineup, but what are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, Toppin should probably start since he's an athlete. Fournier and Kemba Walker, I don't know. They should just go full youth, honestly. They should start Quickly and Grimes and Toppin and Barrett and Randall and then Robinson or Noel, depending
right.
on who is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And at least try and be fast, because you can't play a slow game against the Heat. The Heat are good at slow games, and the Knicks just have to play slow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they move too much, the Heat do, for the Knicks to be able to keep up. It's never been seen before, I don't think, to see every, like, almost game in and game out, starters come on, and then the stats at the end of the game are like minus 20, 25 for all of them. And then the youthful bench is able to pick them up. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't have ripped Elfrid Payton and Reggie Bullock so hard last year, you know, especially Elfrid Payton. But they were able to at least hold the fort on this team while Randall went off. And then, I still think the playoffs affected him greatly. But the 2 weeks here are what I'm thinking about. 2 weeks before the trade deadline.
For the Knicks.
Knicks have, you know, some of the youth that you talked about there, some to entice teams, Toppin and Grimes and Quickly. And then they still have a lot of picks. They have all their own picks. They have the Mavs pick that they got for Porzingis. They did give one up for Cam Reddish, but they can package maybe some of that youth to get a better player. Julius Randle needs to be a number two. And then if RJ's a number three, I don't know if they can entice somebody, but you start getting those New York vibes, right? Maybe a superstar wants to come there. So, well, with a trade. Via trade.
Hilarious. When have the Knicks ever gotten a superstar?
Amari Stoudemire was kind of a superstar.
That's true. He was like the third choice that year. It's hilarious to me that the plan now for the Knicks once again is, well, we just gotta trade our young guys and see if we can get another star in here. It's tough out there for the Knicks. Like Tom Thibodeau is saying in the post-game press conference, can't keep starting from behind like this.
Then switch it up.
Literally, who's in charge of who's starting out there?
Yeah.
Put something else. Like, Derrick Rose cannot be your most important player in 2022.
Their schedule, it's really interesting coming up here, too. They visit Milwaukee on Friday. Then they host the Kings. Okay, maybe you're hoping for a win there. And the Grizzlies. Then they go on a 5-game road trip, the Knicks do. Lakers, Jazz, Nuggets, Warriors, Blazers. So they've got that to go through. And then they host the Thunder and the Nets there at MSG prior to the All-Star break. I mean, that's maybe 3 wins. It's bad. And we're going to show you the Eastern Conference standings in a second here. But, yeah, Knicks fans are very pissed off with some of their players, you know, mainly Randall. And their coach, what Tibbs is doing here, and refusing to play Obi Toppin, give him starter minutes, and switch it up here a little bit. He's just like, he's a little too stuck in like these, we'll just roll with our boys. And you know all too well of this, obviously a Bulls fan with him coaching there.
I can't believe it fell off in 1 year, though. That's the crazy part. I guess that's sort of what happened with the Timberwolves as well. They went to the playoffs, and then the next year, Jimmy Butler was just out. I thought that was more of like a Jimmy Butler issue rather than necessarily a Tibbs issue. But I don't know. Like, are the Knicks going to be trying to trade Julius Randle at the trade deadline? And his contract hasn't even started yet? Probably. Like, I think they would be excited if they could find somebody to take Randall, but I don't think anybody's really interested right now. That being said, he's probably going to be fine when he plays away from New York again.
Yeah. He just has not acclimatized himself to the New York pressure, I don't think. To a pressure that'll drip, 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 drip.
So what, that'll you never only stop. Mean, like, when, once expectations sort of enter tip, this tip, team?
Till you just go pop. Whoa.
He hasn't seen Encanto yet.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, sounds but like you've seen movie. You've seen the Encanto, the meme. Everybody loving it. Everybody singing it. You've seen the Instagrams of people.
I haven't actually seen the pressure memes. I've only seen Carlos Santana / Bruno memes.
Oh, yeah, Bruno's the hot one. Yeah. Bruno is the hot one. It's not so much the pressure memes. It's just people just singing. That's part of another song, but adults are singing Encanto on social
sure,
media.
That's definitely just, true.
Was it a good movie?
That's shocking. Yes. Okay. Yes, it's a good movie for sure. Anyways,
I want to know though why. So what's going on with Randall? Where he sucks this year, but was fine last year because there was no expectations as a part of it. You mean he does just look? Everything looks like a second slow this year with him. I don't know now with the losses piling up and the boos and the pressure. Yeah, as being the max sort of guy, it's not a max contract, but it's obviously a hell of a contract that now he can't handle that. Mm-hmm.
The playoffs changed the man.
But what
the
do you
playoffs
mean by that?
Got to him. Some people just can't handle playoff pressure.
Right, but we're not playing playoff games right now.
Well, it's changed him. Okay. I think. I
mean, yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just trying to like talk it out here. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's another explanation. Mm. He's just not clear-minded. He's not feeling good anymore. He's not feeling as great as he did last year when there was no expectations as a number one guy. That's why he needs somebody in there.
You need a solid point guard to lead this team.
Somebody good. That's what you're thinking. Somebody really good.
The other East results. Let's get to them. Yes, just the Eastern Conference sort of wins here. DeRozan powers the Bulls. to the 111-105 win over the Toronto Raptors. It was a no-dunks battle last night. Bogdanović and Okongwu lead the surging Hawks. They're on a bit of a run here past the Kings, 121-104. And Jokic and Rivers teamed up to help the Nuggets beat the Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, I put them in here for a reason, 124-118. JD, I think you have it. The Eastern Conference standings, as Trey, maybe you want to touch on either that Bulls victory or anything else, but I thought this was just worth showing everyone because we haven't done this in a while. Like, just take a look at the standings where, you know, there's some separation markers between just sort of lumps of teams, and man, are they lumps.
I see you, Skeets, checking out our lumps. Sorry to my friends, but you guys got vooched last
night.
Yeah,
big three.
I know, Skeets, you thought that comeback was going to happen for the Raptors.
Oh, hold on. Comeback did happen. They took the lead.
Not at the end of the game, though, right?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Didn't say that.
Yeah, we're counting comebacks when you just get close?
No, I'm counting comebacks when you're down 19 and then you take the lead.
So there was a Bulls comeback victory, down one, ended up winning by six?
According to ESPN Stats and Info, probably is. Yeah.
nonetheless, a huge game for all of the Bulls' big three. 17-15, 8 assists for Vucci, dribbled into that dagger three with the Bulls up three.
Yeah, big shot.
14 seconds left. That was the dagger. He was pumped. That was cool to see for him. DeRozan, 29-7-7. LaVine, 23-8-8. But if you ask me, the game ball goes to Javonte Green. Because the Bulls were up big time at half. 17 points, got out to 19 in the third quarter. The Raps just couldn't get a stop in the first half. Went into switch-o mode in the second half and completely threw the Bulls out of rhythm. It would take them like 10 seconds just to get the ball up court and start their possession. And then at that point, it was like, okay, now we're trying to get a shot off over some guy who's 6'9". There was a lot of standing and watching for the Bulls. So Coby White eventually went out. Javonte Green checks in with 4:19 left. It's a one-point game. He immediately gets a dunk on a back cut. He immediately draws a foul by being aggressive inside, and then he has that great defense on Siakam when he was going to the hoop with about 30 seconds left, forced the miss, which led to the Vucci three.
Yep.
He's such an important player for the Bulls. I've talked about it when they were really struggling defensively. They had no athleticism out there. It was like LaVine was out, Caruso's obviously out, Lonzo's out, Javonte Green's out, Derrick Jones Jr., all their guys who live in the passing lanes were gone. So having him back, actually not needing the ball, not just waiting to shoot threes and going to the hoop and kind of playing downhill, that was big time. So fun game. Looked like it was going to be a blowout, but it was fun in the second half, no doubt.
Yeah. The Raps couldn't execute there down the stretch, just couldn't find the right shots without Fred VanVleet out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't think anybody loves Vucci more than DeMar DeRozan. Vucci hit that shot, and not much of a celebration from the Bulls. Everybody just sat down, kind of more of a relief.
Like,
yeah, the Raps came back and we took care of business. But DeMar went over there and gave him a sit-down hug. Vooch is sitting down, and DeMar made sure to give him one of those
hugs.
You
always want to beat your old team.
Yeah, and DeMar has always spoke glowingly of Vooch, respected his game in Orlando, and they get it done together. Yeah, it's a team still that is... Yeah, getting through the rough waters there of nobody around, and these are the wins that they need to have at home without, you know, the Raps' best player out there and Fred. So that was a good win for them. I watched the Nets and the Nuggets game just because it was almost like a Nets game that they had to win. Obviously, Harden sits down where his hamstring is not 100%. But those are the types of games that they should try and win if they're going to climb in the Eastern Conference standings themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's worrisome that James Harden has a hamstring injury at this point of the season because KD ain't there and Kyrie Irving isn't there right now. So this is going to be this is just going to be an odd stretch of games. Now, that was a makeup game, so that was probably a sit on the schedule for James Harden just to get some rest mm-hmm. already. But I will say Kevin Durant, I don't think is out of the MVP race. Steve Nash, he says Kevin Durant will be reevaluated in the next week. So that's way earlier than we've been thinking because when he was said, there was the Yahoo report that Durant's out through the All-Star break. He said, we'll see. We'll see about that. Mm. We'll see about that, Alex Schiffer. So Alex Schiffer, thanks for that report. But I don't think we like to overreact. This team's out, or this guy's out of the MVP race. I don't think KD is out of it. He's not out of it.
JD, could you throw up the Eastern Conference standings just quickly one more time? I think it's worth taking another look. Right now the Heat holding off the Bulls, who are right on their heels, and the Cavs are there. So are the Nets, so are the Bucks, and so are the Sixers. And then there's like a little bit of gap there, you know, that difference between the sixth and the seventh seed, which is the Hornets. But it's like the Hornets, Celtics, Raptors. let's say Wizards,
here
Knicks,
come. Here come
and
the Hawks.
Yeah, and then, you know, there's three shitty teams in the league, in the Eastern Conference, I should say, in the Pacers, Pistons, and Magic. So they're out of it. So, yeah, it's, what is that, six teams playing for ultimately the final two spots in the Eastern Conference standings. It'll be a, I don't know, it's going to be a bit of a fight here with the Hawks coming on and the Knicks obviously falling off. They don't want to join those bottom dwellers.
You guys believe in the Hawks winning five in a row, looking
kind of
like
I kind of
year?
Do. It really feels like they just hated Cam Reddish because they're having a ton of fun. Danilo Gallinari threw down a reverse dunk last night. They had the big alley-oop to Okongwu, who was getting trash-talked by his teammates pregame. Lou Williams threw down a dunk. He said, I'm not practicing today because I dunked during the game. I don't need to practice. Fair. So, the vibes have changed.
Yeah,
the vibes have 100% changed, and maybe it was just shipping out the one guy who wanted to shoot every time and not play defense.
Cam Reddish he got his shots last night, too, playing for the Knicks.
Yeah, that's right.
that guy's incredible. He's like, I'm in. Finally, I'm in. Give me the ball. Let's go.
What was it, six shots in 10 minutes?
I think so. Okay, let's jump to some of the Western Conference teams. We'll start with Devin Booker leading the Suns past the Jazz, 105-97. Suns have won 8 straight. We had Luka getting a triple-double to help Dallas down Portland, 132-112. Ja Morant special again. I think he had 41 in the end. Grizzlies beat the Spurs, 118-110. And the Clippers, they rallied for the second straight night to top the Magic, 111-102. I'm poking
fun
of that.
That's a comeback.
I brought up the ESPN stats and info tweet because it was like, oh, those Clippers have done it again. They were down 14 points in like early second quarter. And Trey says it all the time. First half leads. They're not real. They don't really count. And I know Schumann has numbers that like say, well, of course it matters. You get a big lead. You're more likely to win the game. But so many times that lead is down to what? 3 or if not gone in the second half. Anyway, I thought it was funny that they were pushing that Clippers comeback and they got the victory in the end. But the Suns, Tass, you know, I made it the question for today's show was, how realistic is a Suns Heat NBA Finals? Like, can you see that
sure.
as a possibility? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there's a doubt that that could be a Finals. Yeah, the Heat are real. The Suns are real. You know, if you like doing those types of wagers where you make both teams as part of the NBA Finals, that's probably
I bet it's a juicy
odds.
One, yeah.
Yeah. Nobody likes betting on the Suns for some reason. Everybody likes betting on the Warriors in the West. And the Heat, yes, are below people's minds, below the Nets and below the Bucks. So, sure. Yeah.
Let's throw up the Western Conference standings, JD, because the Suns still don't have double-digit losses, which is pretty amazing. Like, they are on pace. This is like a 65-win season here. And they just look like a juggernaut. They're 3.5 games clear of the Warriors in second. Grizzlies a little bit back from them. The Jazz have just like, you know, with missing half of their guys have fallen quite drastically down to fourth with the Mavs and the Nuggets right there, Trey.
Look at this crop. I mean,
they goosed them.
Maybe they're goosing those Suns numbers. 38-9.
That's amazing.
They're the favorite right now, and I don't see how you can be against it. It feels like deja vu every time you read an AP report about a Phoenix Suns game. Devin Booker carried the Suns for 3 quarters. Chris Paul shut the door in the 4th quarter. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. I know Booker scored there at the end, but didn't take a shot until about 4 minutes left in the 4th. Doesn't matter. It works perfectly. They said it took us a little bit to figure it out, and that's definitely true because at the beginning of last season, I remember we were talking all the time. It was a little bit too much of your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. Am I taking over? Or are you taking over? They seem to have found what's working for them. So, I mean, you know, what, 55, 60% of the way through the season? Got to be the Suns. As for the Eastern Conference, it feels a lot more open to me.
Yeah.
Because the Warriors, they're really struggling right now.
It's so funny you tweeted that about Devin Booker leads the Suns for the first 3 quarters and Chris Paul takes over the 4th. I thought the exact same thing. I was actually going to tweet the exact same thing. I was like, it is like Groundhog Day with the Suns. It feels like it every time. And now Booker will have like a stinker of a game every once in a while, but of course he can do like this 43-point performance, have an awesome 3 quarters. He really is like he's like this team, if they're a baseball team, he goes like, all right, he gives you a good 7 or 8 innings, and then Chris Paul is the closer. He's like the Dennis Eckersley Is that a guy anymore?
No. I think he's been out like
that
20
years. That guy had a mustache.
Oh, great stash.
Yeah.
Who's
but
the dominant closer these days?
Yeah, who is it, Tess? You like baseball?
there's one. I don't know his name.
Okay.
But, you know, people,
alive.
People don't believe in relief pitchers like they used to back in my day.
What do you mean?
Well, relief pitchers are a dime a dozen now. Aren't they?
Well,
aren't they? Because they're going longer. People understand that starters shouldn't go as long.
Right. Yes.
I mean, it's unfortunate. Guy's going for a perfect game through five or six, and he gets yanked.
Oh, disgusting.
Don't want to see him three times through the lineup. I get it, but come on. Bring us back the old... If a guy's got a no-hitter, I'm sick of this.
You shouldn't be able to come out.
Multi-pitcher no-hitters.
Preach.
I hate it. And so there are a lot of Dennis Eckersley out there. You need a new closer.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, you won't give me one.
Well, I don't have... You've got a computer.
Go with... go local. Go Tyler Matzek. He wasn't really the Braves closer. He was their setup guy, but this guy was lights out in the World Series. Man. You were watching the World Series
games. I guess. I don't really... I could never pick him out of a lineup, though. I don't know.
Well, what about the Millennium? Closer Will Smith.
Okay, I know that name. There's two Will Smiths in baseball.
That's right.
One's
they faced
catcher.
Each other.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay, former Braves closer led the league in saves this season.
How many? It's not a lot anymore.
39. I mean, the record I think is Bobby Thigpen. He had a 57 once upon a time.
Yeah.
Don't know if Eric Gagne ever topped it.
Yeah.
Mark Melanson was the leader in saves this season.
Are you sure he's not a goalie? Saving things as a goalie? That sounds like a French-Canadian goalie.
Who, Eric Gagne?
Mark Melanson.
Melanson.
Hey,
you know Maznick, he got into it with the police officers here at the Atlanta Parade.
Okay. I'm getting better with my timely baseball references with Eckersley. I used to always say Tom Hanke.
Eckersley's older than Tom Hanke. I mean, they're basically the same.
Tom Hanke looked like he was 7 years old when he was playing.
Those were the good old days when closers were closers. Am I right?
When a baseball player could wear glasses.
Let us know if there's a baseball player that wears glasses currently. There's
got to be some cool goggles out
there. Yeah, goggles are too cool now.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we believe in a Suns Heat final.
Yeah.
I mean, it could definitely happen. I would love... I'm going to be doing a deep dive on BetMGM and trying to find what type of odds you can get on that. You know, I'd put a little coin on that.
What about the Bucks? You were big on the Bucks a week ago.
It's probably a Bucks-Suns final.
They need Brook Lopez back. I don't believe in the Bucks until I see Brook Lopez on the court.
Wow.
No offense.
No offense. None taken.
No offense. Sorry, guys.
Anything else, Taz, from the Western Conference standings or any of those games that I did sort of fly through there with the Suns winning, the Mavericks winning, the Grizzlies winning, and the Clippers?
Well, I was a Clippers fan at the beginning of the season to have a big run in the Western Conference. The fact that they're staying afloat without Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, these two huge come-from-behind victories, including the Orlando Magic 14-point comeback last night. They're at 25-25. They're still around. They're still there. They won't drop out. They're not going anywhere. And the other thing is...
sorry, man. I got tangled up in my chair with these cords. I got too many cords on me right now. Like,
when you did the no offense, you got jangled in cords. No offense, but you got too many cords.
I do. I'm taking a little offense. I'm going to tap out here while you talk about the Western Conference. Yeah, okay. Get my cords situated.
Take care of that, Rob Cordry. I will take care of the Memphis Grizzlies. One thing about John Morant, we talked about the Rising Stars Challenge, the tweaks to Friday night. Us geeks are, you know, looking forward to Friday night for once. John Morant can bless us with the Skills Challenge participation.
Fuck off, Tess.
Why?
You can't be serious.
Why?
The Skills Challenge?
No, it's the worst part of Saturday night.
And he's going to bless us by going in it and winning it?
Well, going. Is there a cooler player on the dribble this year?
So
no.
Let's take the coolest player in the league and put him in the least cool event of all time and even see if he can save it, I guess. Yeah.
Well, no one else can save it.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
They're going to force the Skills Challenge on us. There's a sponsor. I don't know if it's Taco Bell or
it's
whoever.
It's usually Taco Bell, yeah.
Maybe it's Mountain Dew doing the do. I guess that's a three ball competition because there's a Mountain Dew spot out there. But he'll go behind the back in the Skills Challenge skates.
Oh, okay.
He'll let the ball go in front of him. He'll have his back to the bucket and hit the layup that way.
Yeah, okay.
He'll be fancy out there. I mean,
only Ja Morant can save the skills job.
You want to see Patrick Beverly again, or do you want to see Ja Morant?
Really,
you're
going to
be watching it. I know you're going to be watching it.
Of course I am. We did two shows once on horse. Two podcasts we did on horse.
Damn, dark times.
We knew every nook and cranny of Mike Conley's personal gym. We were looking at the mural, for crying out loud. No, okay, Ja Morant, save us. I thought you were going to... Ja Morant, go in the dunk contest, man. My dunk sources. See, he's still...
He's not going in.
He has said he's not going in, so he probably is not. You're right. But come on. That's what we need, Ja Morant. Obi Toppin apparently is going to go back in it. Remember he was in it last year?
Yeah.
But that last year's dunk contest didn't count. Those poor guys having to dunk in front of nobody.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That was tough.
So word is that Obi Toppin's going to run it back, so... Hopefully they'll put on a show for us. Okay, anything else about the Western Conference?
It is the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. They still got it locked down.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay. Well, in a couple weeks, we'll find out the participants in all of those events.
The Dunkaroos dunk contest has to happen. We had Dunkaroos as a little... as the dessert in one of our ads a couple days ago, so I'm still thinking about Dunkaroos.
That's true.
Dunkaroos are, it's like a chicken wing. I forget about it for years, and then, oh yeah, those exist. Then I'll forget about it again tomorrow. Go ahead.
No offense.
No offense, Rob.
AT&T sponsors the slam dunk contest. Yeah. Mountain Dew sponsors the three-point contest.
It's backwards.
It's backwards.
Yeah.
Calling long distance, that's AT&T.
I think they used to do it, though.
That's Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
Maybe they just wanted to change it
AT&T up. At one point did the three-point contest, but you're right, now they do the dunk.
Stupid.
But there's the Code Red going to shoot this ball from far away, Mountain Dew, Code Red. What?
Is that still a thing? It was, for sure.
But
I did have a Dew ball.
I thought they got rid of those extra spots, though, those long balls. It's all about the Clorox clutch challenge.
Yeah, big clutch heads.
All right, we'll take our first break. We definitely need one here in the Classic Factory. When we come back, though, we're going to hit the beach to answer a few of your questions. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, back with No Dunks in the Classic Factory. I sent that email I needed to send.
Okay.
So hopefully that new t-shirt will be up. Available for sale in mere hours. I was going to say minutes, but you know, you never know if somebody's out for lunch.
Did you send an email to get a nomination for a Grammy for that Grammarly ad right there?
No, we should.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We should. It's a great ad read.
Yeah. Best collaboration. Best third ad collaboration in podcast friggin' history. Yeah.
Possibly. So go to nodunks.com later today for what I think you'll really appreciate. This. What am I saying? I think you'll really appreciate this shirt we put up.
That shirt is older than Dennis Eckersley or Tom Hanke or Dwayne Wardo.
Yeah, that's... They're not the fabric of the shirt.
No.
The design, the idea. Yeah. Let's hit the beach. A little beach. Step in. Because it's the only place to read your emails and tweets. Send them in. nodunks@theathletic.com. Tweet them in. @nodunksinc. That's INC at the end. You can leave them in the YouTube comments below. First one. Hey, guys. I recently saw a tweet stating that Devin Booker had 13 30-plus point games this season. Probably 14 now, after going for 43 last night. Mm. The only other Sun to join him on that list with one? Frank Kaminsky.
Surprising. It's surprising.
I thought that was crazy, which leads me to my question. What other crazy stats can you think of where a random player joins an elite group of players for a specific accomplishment? That's from Aaron C. Did anybody fact check him on this?
Nope.
That's correct. That
wow,
is
that's
right.
Amazing.
It is
so.
Right. Yeah,
Booker has now 14 games of 30 plus points.
No one else has a 30.
Chris
point
Paul
game
doesn't have one.
Other
and
than Frank
Kaminsky, Kaminsky. Frank the Tank. That's
yeah.
Wild.
Chris Paul's high is 27 this year.
Oh, wow. Oh, the other night. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you have a? I thought this was a very difficult question. An answer to this? What other crazy stats can you think of where a random player joins an elite group of players for a specific accomplishment?
I veered a little bit, just a little bit, okay. Because I went for an all-time accomplishment. Scott Skiles has the all-time record for most assists in a game with 30. Scott Skiles is no John Stockton. Maybe Lee, if Lee was here, he'd say Scott Skiles is better than John Stockton.
Right, right.
No, not even he would say that. But Scott Skiles has fewer assists than Kirk Heinrich in his career. Scott Skiles has fewer assists than Jared Jack in his career.
Wow.
Kemba Walker has one more assist than Scott Skiles had in his career, which is really weird. But Scott Skiles is 130th all-time, and it's just odd that he has the record for 30 assists.
Crazy.
That's a good one.
Yeah, and it brings us a little connection to last night's game. The Hornets scored 158. Mm-hmm. Scott Skiles had 30 assists when the Magic scored 155 points in 1990. So for 30-plus years, he's been holding that mark. And no one's really come close.
Yeah, what's the closest?
Kevin Porter, Kevin Porter's junior's dad, had 29 assists a long time ago.
Okay.
He's second all-time. And then Stockton is in a three-way tie with Cousy and Guy Rogers, who did it way back, way back, way back. But Stockton is the guy up on this list that's most recent. Nobody has had,
wow,
from in my eyes here, more than 24. So 25 or over since 1993 or something.
I got Rondo 25 in 2017.
Okay, there you go. That's the
that's
one. Yeah, that's the one. 25 is the highest. Nice. NBA single game assist leaders, Skiles, Porter, Cousy, Roger, Stockton, Houston, Stockton, DiGregorio, and Kevin Porter. Four-time assist leader, Kevin Porter. But that's a shocker to me. I guess you got to score a lot of points, and one guy has to
need
the assist man. And it helps to go back to a traditional point guard as well. Like LaMelo shoots a lot and will get the ball out of his hands a lot. Like Skiles didn't shoot, you know, as much.
True.
So he just dished. That's why Stockton's up there as well. To get to that 30 mark, that's going to be tough, I guess.
Yeah, you need your teammates to just be hitting every single shot they take.
Uh-huh.
You're just like, here. You need to do just pass it to Kelly Oubre last night, and he's going to hit a three every single time. You need a couple guys to be doing that to get over 25. Yeah, 30. Well, that's pretty amazing it's not been eclipsed in that
one. Yeah,
with the points that teams get up now in today's game, it is wild.
Rondo kind of makes sense because he's just a disher.
Yep,
yep.
So 25, that sort of makes sense. But yeah, you gotta have a huge scoring night.
What about you, Trey? Do you have another answer to this?
I'm just checking in here to see how many teams even average 30 assists per game. I know that's pretty rare.
Yeah,
27.8 assists per game is the leader, the San Antonio Spurs. This could be the Joe DiMaggio record, never broken. I wonder if we'll ever see a 31 assist game. For me, though, his name got mentioned earlier in the show, Donyell Marshall, being one of the all-time single-game three-point record holder for years. Mm-hmm. He's a 35% career three-point shooter, took two a game. But that one year, 04-05, his career best percentage, 41.6, that's his career best when he was actually like a rotation player. He had some small minute success as well, but very weird to see Donyell Marshall up there alongside Kobe Bryant. Kobe did it in 2003. Donyell Marshall tied him with 12 in 2005, and then they held that record together until Steph Curry in 2016. He hit 12 to tie him, finally broken by Klay Thompson, 14 in 2018. But like the top five for single game threes, Kobe, Steph, Klay, Zach LaVine, and Donyell Marshall. Yeah. I mean, Zach LaVine, at least he's a 40% three-point shooter. It's very weird to see Donyell Marshall up there.
I was right when our man Lang Whitaker, compared Donyell Marshall to Scottie Barnes when I was upset about that, right? Mm-hmm. I was right to be upset is what I'm saying.
Lang would make a comparison
of Donyell Marshall to Scottie Barnes.
You think Scottie Barnes is going to be better than Donyell Marshall?
In the NBA, yeah. Lang's response was, Donyell Marshall was great at UConn.
Yeah, he was a good college player.
Yeah. There's some hope here for Scottie Barnes' career to be better than Donyell Marshall's.
I hope so.
Right.
Yeah, I think his ceiling is a little higher. But Donyell Marshall had a good career.
He had a good career.
Yeah.
All right, next one. No answer for that one?
Yeah, no.
Okay. Sup, fellas. Despite the constant discussion of a Ben Simmons trade, no one seems to even be considering that he could be improving his jump shot while training for his inevitable return to the court. It appears the world has given up on the idea of Simmons getting better at shooting. What's something you've given up on the idea of getting better at? That's from Nick J. in Los Angeles.
So what do you think the odds are? Ben Simmons got a jump shot when he does return to the NBA. That'd be amazing. That'd be what a awesome, twist man. Of that story. That would be just suddenly a 40% three-point shooter. That'd be unreal. I think the odds are low, though. To answer the question, well, you guys know, and I think I've said it on the podcast a couple of times, this year I've started helping my buddy Grish, your buddy Grish, our buddy Grish, coach youth basketball. First time I've ever done it.
Yeah.
So I'm like the assistant coach helping out. Six-year-olds, so it's pandemonium out there. Team's getting better, though. We've seen some improvements from week to week. But at a certain point with kids that age, you sort of just like have to stop thinking they're ever going to like get back on defense, not all go to the ball. We got some pretty aggressive, some defenders on our team. We got called for a couple fouls last game. They're just like, guys, you can't hack at them. Like they think it's football at times a little bit. So at a certain point, you're like, all right, it is what it is. As long as they're having fun and nobody's getting hurt. But, you know, we're really trying to like, okay, come on. You forget, like, at least it was difficult for me. It's like, it feels like we're almost like coaching high school kids. And we're like, wait, we're not. These are six-year-olds. Like, what are we trying to do here? So just like, we're trying right now to instill one pass because everybody just wants to shoot. And that's, we've had some success with one pass. Some kids get it, some kids don't. But the defense, you know, we were like talking about, are we doing man? Are we doing zone? What are we running out here? It's like nothing. Just all our defense now is when they miss a shot, just get the ball. That's defense. So.
Box out drills.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't kids get one pass? They should understand.
Some of them do. But I think the main thing is we're trying to tell them when you pass the ball, that doesn't mean you're not going to get it back. But in their head, it's like, well, as soon as the ball's out of my hands, it's never getting back to me. It's like they're playing with a bunch of Cam Reddishes out there. But you're like, no, you can get the ball back to you. So I think that's the issue.
Kids, yeah. Notoriously good at sharing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might be why they don't want to pass.
Yeah.
But shooting is hard. I bet their shots are passes. Because they're not even hitting the rim, I'm sure. Like, they're 6-year olds.
Yeah, I've seen our team.
How high are these rims? How high are these rims?
No, low. They're like 7.5 feet high.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good for that.
We got guys dunking out there. No. So that's, to me, it's like at a certain point, you just have to go, okay, we're not going to, that will not be taught to them at this age. And that's fine. Who cares, right? And it's defense, Trey. We shouldn't even be teaching them defense anyway.
Why would you want to teach a kid defense?
What a waste.
Yeah. They're never going to use it. Yeah. It's like math. You got to learn it. They tell you you're going to use it in the future.
But you won't.
Nope.
You don't have to.
Uh-uh. You can get by without it. Right. They put every number you ever need on the internet.
What do you have for this?
I'm never going to practice spike ball. I would love to be better at spike ball. I would love to be able to do like chest bumps. You see the highlights. You see like really, like they'll be running super far back, have a beautifully touched shot back to somebody, but I'm never going to spend my time learning how to play spike ball. It's just going to be like, oh, we're playing spike ball this weekend. Great. I'll be there starting from square one again.
Right.
Sometimes it'll be great. Many times I'll just be laughing and looking like a fool out there. Maybe one highlight per day. You know, like one cool hit per day, I'm happy, but I will never invest time trying to get better at spike ball. I just want it to happen naturally.
Well, like, how would you even get better? I guess just join a league, I guess, would be the real way.
Yeah, I would never do that. No. I guess you could set your spike ball near a wall. Just bopping it back and forth a wall. Like, that's how you would get better at tennis or ping pong, maybe. You know, like, if we had the second half of this table, you fold half of it up.
Yeah.
Never for spike ball. I would also, like, I can't imagine being like, hey, Tass, what are you doing today? You want to get together and just non-competitive, just me and you spiking back and forth, working on our skills. You would say, no.
Good.
But bring your canoe. Right. We're hitting the water. That'd be a lot more fun to do.
Yeah. But you're into tennis right now.
I'm also bad at tennis.
Uh-huh. Are you going to try? I was just going to say it, like, at our age, as we get older, like, are you going to commit yourself to practicing a new sport? I think that's tough.
No, my practice will be before we start playing the games. Yeah. You know, you get there, you hit a few times, feels like the first time, feels like the very first time, and then you're like, okay, you know, I got a sweat going down my back, let's play some games. I'll try and win one of six.
Well, but to push back on that, actually, you saying like you won't really practice anything. Didn't you sort of practice like fly fishing a little bit? Like you started to learn from a master, right?
Oh, I went on a fishing trip and I learned it once, and I haven't fly fished since.
Okay.
So I'm not a practicer.
No.
I'm a natural.
I think it's still. I'm just naturally going to be the exact same at this every time I pick it up.
Well, that's why I don't want to practice golf, and I'm saying this now because I want to speak it into existence. I could see myself getting into golf and just, you know, spending a billion hours playing golf for the rest of my life. It's like appealing on one hand, but I don't want to try and get better at it. I don't want to play golf. But it's such a natural thing. People do it down here. People golf down here. Yeah. But I would rather just go hack once every few months and be fine.
Yeah.
Or, you know, fine to bad. Not fine, but like fine in my brain. I just don't want to try and get good. I mean, I like to go hack at a driving range, Top Golf, hack, but not on a course where it's like you and the pin. Oh God.
Just you and the pin.
Holy cow. It takes forever. Like I see our friend Larry Luco out there. Like if you're good, it'll take under 4 hours. But if you're bad, woo, can take a long time, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to play.
That's like I'd rather watch Encanto twice.
One rule I've learned being a shit golfer: 18, not for me.
Yeah,
play 9, you're happy. You know? It's like barbecue sauce. All right, so this is great. So similar answers there in a weird way. Okay, final one here. This is there's not really a question attached to this, but we need to get this information out to everybody. What's up, No Dunks crew? Just wanted to inform you about Stance socks. I know you were having a disagreement about where the logo went. Stance is basically my life and my favorite brand. The Stance logo, if it is on the ankle, goes on the inside. This is what Trey was saying. It's the way the models wear them and the way most of the ones that are labeled left or right show. However, for certain types of socks, like basketball and hiking socks, the Stance logo goes on the outside. Hope this helps. Go Stance, go Hornets. That's from Mateo.
Stance are looking good this year. They got a chance. Stance has a chance in the playoffs.
Really, this didn't help anything, if we're being honest. Like, it's just more confusing.
No, I don't think so.
Why?
Because it goes in concert with a couple comments we've had. Eric on our YouTube channel said, Stance logo always got to be on the inside. Reese says, it's on the inside. The logo pops when you sit with one foot on top of the other knee.
Oh my
Honestly,
God.
Like,
come on.
This is the point. This is the point. If you're not playing a sport, the only way you're going to see it is if you have it up on the other knee. That's the only way you're going to see it. So it's about visibility. that's when you're going to see it. When you see people speaking at a panel, when do you see their socks? That's when you see them. When they've got, there it
is. But okay, so, but the basketball socks, hiking socks, whatever.
Yeah.
When you're in theory wearing shorts.
Yes.
Then the Stance logo is on the outside.
That's when you're going to see it more. I'm not going to see the inside of your ankle more.
Wow, I mean, look at this guy.
Props.
All right. So let's show it off here.
It's a basketball sock.
For everybody listening to the podcast, Trey is showing us a bunch of Stance socks.
As you can see, standard sock on the outside, NBA logo, inside ankle.
Okay.
Stance logo.
Okay.
All right.
Because you're not going to see it, really. Well, yeah, okay.
Well, this was during the NBA era. I think Stance had, like, the NBA contract for a year.
Yeah.
This is when that happened. So, you know, number one brand at that time has to be the NBA.
Right, right.
Here's another one. This is a basketball sock.
Okay.
This one is labeled for the right foot, and as you can see,
it's on the outside.
The logo would be on the outside.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Left foot also on the outside.
Those are some tall socks, by the way.
These are like Kyle Korver tie dye socks. These are insane. These are only worn under a boot, if you ask me.
Right.
And then this is the mystery. Here,
oh,
okay.
Oh.
Unopened. I didn't open these because I couldn't figure out where to put the logo.
Tune in for Poppin' Socks later today on our YouTube feed.
See, just labeled large. Just large. This is just a normal sock. Big sock for my big feet.
Yeah.
Choose your own adventure. You're putting the logo on the inside or the outside. You can do it either way.
Oh, because I see what you're saying.
I would go logo on the inside.
Yeah.
Because I do like the idea.
Because you're a model.
Yeah, I'm always modeling the inside.
Always crossing
of my
your
ankles.
Legs.
But yeah, it's like Stance. Make up your minds.
I think they're going for the most
visibility. Take a stance, Stance.
Take a stance, Stance. Take a stance on me.
Those are big, but these are small.
Hey, man.
Don't sock shame him, man.
How dare you say that to me? This is a quarter sock, bro.
It stretches, man.
I'm not speaking about the ankle part. I'm speaking about the foot part.
What? You think that's a short...
That's a short foot.
It's as long as a microphone.
It just stretches. It just stretches. Hey, I'm with them.
I only order the hugest socks from Stance.
Like, socks are weird that way. You ever seen, like, a... I mean, so I'm specifically my wife's, but, like, a woman's, like, just tiny little anklet sock? Mm-hmm. They look like they're this big. They look like they're for, like, Smurfs. But then you stretch it out, it goes on a foot.
Yeah, I've got a baby, and I've got a four-year-old.
Yeah.
And I say, the baby socks will fit on the four-year-old. We'll stretch.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do.
Beach stepping, guys.
Throw some socks on.
Yeah. Kick around the sand with some socks on. Keep sending in your questions. nodunks@theathletic.com or just straight up facts and statements about particular things that we have disagreements about. You can tweet them in as well @nodunksing. Okay, we got one more break when we come back. JD's got tweet of the night. We got pick 'em results and a little bit more, so don't go anywhere. Well, good news. Email sent, email received, new shirt available now over at nodunks.com.
Oh!
Yeah, smells like old men.
That's a cool shirt.
I love it. I can't wait to buy one of these over at nodunks.com. Good stuff, Breaking Tea. Way to be on your email during work hours.
I love it. Yep.
I was testing them.
Getting things done.
So go to nodunks.com. You can grab that new Nirvana-inspired No Dunk shirt. Or, of course, many other shirts and hoodies and mugs and shorts. Tons over there. We got to get into the sock game, maybe.
Yeah. We should do a No Dunk sock.
Yeah.
And I will say, for the shirts, logos on the outside.
Well, depends. Depends. I was trying
depends.
To think. If you're painting...
Depends. Yeah. If you're painting.
Nursing a baby that's a little sick. Might puke on you.
Mm-hmm.
What else? So go to nodunks.com, get your new No Dunks gear. And of course, if you buy any of our No Dunks merch and you take a photo of yourself either at a game or on the beach or somewhere else, tag your boys on Twitter and Instagram @NoDunksInc. Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Yeah, I've got tweet of the night. And to be honest, it snuck up on me like it normally does. Like it surprised me. So
why does it surprise you?
Because I always forget. And then I'll be looking at the doc like, oh, what do we got today? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, ah, oh, fuck, I've got tweet of the night.
Oh, so you don't look at the doc until the morning of the show, is what you're saying.
I never look at the bottom half of it because it's, you know, it's our usual stuff. So it's like, oh, I know we got pick 'em. I know we got tweet of the night, but it's always like crapshoot. And I'm always like, crap, I've got tweet of the night. But
right.
So what I usually do, you know, I scramble and I jump into Slack. And, you know, so I'm just going to. It's basically Slack of the night. And in fact, I grabbed the Slack screen grab.
Not even the tweet.
Yeah, and it was Trey just dropped it in the drop channel, and this was meant to be a rapid-fire question. But it's a tweet from GameSpot, and it's a picture of The Rock from San Andreas, I believe. And it says, The Rock is making another video game movie, but he won't say which franchise.
Right.
Crazy, right? And, you know, in the article, he went on to say, you know, it's a classic. I've played this game. I love it. We're going to do the player, the video game players right. And it's a, he says it's the biggest, most badass games to come to the screen. I've played it for a year. So
What is it?
Well, we don't know. But there was a response from a
Duke Nukem.
Has that not been made?
I don't know.
I feel like it's been made. But maybe not, actually. But I saw in the replies to GameSpot, this Photoshop of The Rock as the dude, I don't know his name, from God of War. And it's obviously that. It has to be that, right?
I mean, it looks good.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to the Slack of the night, the question up there is, what video game should they make into a movie? So I pose a question to you guys. I mean, put me down for a Zelda.
Yeah.
I mean...
Straight Link, eh?
Yeah, the Ocarina of Time. I've never seen a video game movie that I've liked, I don't think. Like, has there been a good one? I mean...
Well, I can't... Like Prince of Persia?
Mortal Kombat.
Prince of Persia, not bad, not bad. Yeah, I guess.
Hitman? Wasn't like Mark Wahlberg in Hitman or something like that?
Yeah, didn't like it.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd? Sylvester
that's
Stallone.
That's not a video game.
Oh, it's not.
Comic
book first.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Actually, the Carl Urban Judge Dredd, you should watch it. It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
But based on a comic book.
Based on a comic, not a video game.
What about Cool Spot?
Cool Spot.
It's a video game.
Never heard of
it. Never heard of the game Cool Spot? I brought it up on the show.
Is that like a 7-Up game or something?
Oh, yeah.
I told the story that I rented it from my local convenience store, and I beat it in like an hour, and I took it back, and they let me just swap it for another game. It's like, I beat this.
That easy.
It's not that hard.
Handed in, said, make 7, up yours. Give me a new game. That sounds like a great Rock line, though. Make 7, up yours. Yeah, people are saying that Max Payne was a Mark Wahlberg, but I don't know. The Rock, what did he do? He did Rampage, right?
He did a Rampage. He's done. He was in Doom, I think.
Oh, really?
Which is a video game. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, do you have an answer to this then? Another like, you know, video game series like Zelda that you'd like to see made into a movie?
I haven't played it, but Red Dead Redemption looks pretty cool.
I played the first one. It was fun.
I'm loving westerns.
Yeah.
Wouldn't mind seeing The Rock in a Western.
Yeah, sure.
Get him on a horse.
Put The Rock in everything.
It'd be weird to see a guy that jacked in the Wild West. Like, they're usually...
What were you eating? How many beans did you possibly have around the campfire?
Exactly. Most of the time they have scurvy and tuberculosis. Like, that real deadwood. And they're like alcoholics, too. So.
Yeah.
Be very hard to picture him as in a Western, but I'd see it.
The
I'd
poor horse, too, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Do you have an answer for this? Or?
I was going to go with Zelda as well.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah, because that's the only one I've played of everyone that we've said. Mm. I'm surprised they haven't made a Zelda movie.
Well, hold on. Is there a Mario Brothers movie?
John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's old, though, at this point.
Yeah, it's really old. I think Bob Hoskins, a guy from Saving Roger Rabbit, is in it. And John Leguizamo. That's a crazy. That can't be right. I said, as it came out of my mouth, I was like, that can't be right. But maybe it's right. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Zelda seems to be the answer. Like, did anybody watch the Sonic movies? I know there's a second one coming.
There is.
Apparently, it's not bad.
Yeah, that's what people
said. It's like 68% on Rotten Tomatoes. So that's pretty good. The Angry Birds 2, the movie, is like the highest rated video game movie on Rotten Tomatoes. It's like 73%.
Wow.
Why?
It's a goddamn delight, apparently. So, okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Let's hear from everybody out there. I'm sure the stream team's chiming in with some good answers. Video games you'd like to see be made into movies. What about NBA Jam?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad idea, honestly. Like, after the two Space Jams... You know, you could digitally bring these guys back to life, like in their youth, and have flaming balls. And I bet it would be a much more compelling story than both Space Jams put together.
Oh, okay. Along the same lines, because I used to love this game, Super Spike Volleyball.
Mm.
Because like you had to go through the world circuit and stuff like that. You know,
it's not a bad idea. Let's just make it a straight up sports movie.
Yeah,
right.
It'd be like. You take White Men Can't Jump and you set it on the beaches.
Right.
And they're playing to win all these tournaments.
That's basically what it is.
Talking trash.
Yeah. And you have the big guys, you have the quick, skinny guys. Oh, yeah.
A team of all bigs? That would be The Rock, man.
Yeah.
Maybe The Rock and Vin can smooth things over, be a team.
For it Super would Spike blow Volleyball. People's mind if the answer to this, The Rock is teasing us, is Super Spike Volleyball. I'm one of the big guys.
I've played this game my whole life.
I'm doing justice to the big guy characters. Oh, I used to love that game. It still holds up. Like a couple years ago, me and my buddy Dub, we had it. Somebody had the Nintendo system, and it's like it's still like difficult enough. It's obviously there's two buttons, so you can pick it up pretty easy. But it's fun. Mm-hmm. That was a great game.
Never played it.
Zelda, that's it.
Looking forward to seeing Kerry Walsh Jennings on the courts this year in the Olympics. Oh, it's the Winter Olympics.
Winter.
Oh, she's retired.
Well, it's funny you brought up the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. We might have a new podcast coming very, very soon about that. Squad! Mm-hmm. Back in your lives soon. The Winter Olympics edition. That's all I'll say. Pick 'em results from last night. Tough one, Tass. Mavs, Blazers. Dallas was favored by 4.5. Everybody took Dallas to cover that, except for Tass.
Yeah.
Swerved a little bit, took the Blazers. They got hammered by 20 points in the end. So, big victory for Trey and Lee. You're 7-10. Tass falls to 6-11. I'm 11-6 here in the month of January. Don't want to be last. Don't want to be last. Only two games on tonight. Which one are we doing?
Well, much like talking about video games, I don't really know what I'm doing here when it comes to the pick and payoff.
Oh, man, I hate when that happens.
There are only two games tonight. It's a TNT doubleheader. And that fact that it's on TNT makes me believe that the Lakers are going to be all right going into Philadelphia. I think they're on a bit of a run here where they're trying to prove to the league that we're playing our best ball of the season. Anthony Davis is there. So I'm taking the Lakers to cover a 2.5-point spread against the Sixers.
Jeez, everybody
of all
else.
Teams. Yeah, the Lakers have some bodies to throw at Joel Embiid and his run that he's got on going on right now with Anthony Davis back. And hell, if they throw one of the D's out there and Dwight or DeAndre, it'll be fine for a possession or two.
Hopefully, throw some D's.
Hopefully Anthony Davis will be out there. But you guys are all taking the Sixers, which I understand. I understand.
It's a nice-looking little doubleheader here. Lakers, Sixers, Wolves, Warriors on TNT. This could be two entertaining games.
Good for the Wolves to get on national TV.
And the All-Star starters are announced tonight as well. So we'll be talking about that, these games, and a whole lot more on tomorrow's Drop podcast. You can join us live at 10 a.m. Eastern. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Get your new No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Oh. That shirt is live, baby. It's available in youth sizes. It's available in hoodie form. So however you want to put that one on your chest, you can make it happen.
Oh, you're saying it's reversible.
Yeah.
Inside or outside.
Every shirt is. grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. And like I said, we'll be back tomorrow here at 10 a.m. Eastern, live from the Classic Factory. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, I'm going to quote somebody here from the stream team. Now, this isn't necessarily true, but this is who he believes The Rock will be playing. David DeLuise says The Rock will be Shao Kahn in the Mortal Kombat series. Mortal Kombat movie coming out, huh?
Another one. No,
there's no way it's that.
Okay, there's no way it's that, but...
Finish this! Yeah. Podcast!
Race the day, people.